T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Hey guys, welcome to Hot Rods and Happy Hour. This is Rob Pitts in the studio. And as always, we have Hot Rods and Happy Hours financial analyst slash numbers guru, the professor himself, Richard Hoskins.
Well, in honor of our special guest tonight, we are going to visit some of the city's biggest drag racing cities in the country. Not the least of which, of course, is Bristol, Tennessee.
Bristol? That's a fun track.
Yeah, Thunder Valley.
Thunder Valley.
Yeah, I went there once. It was fun.
I was in Bristol one time, but I actually got messed up right there at that Bristol split coming back home. I took a right when I should have took a left, but it was still there's worse places to be lost than Bristol, Tennessee.
That is true.
And then of course we have Hot Rods and Happy Hours legal counsel slash all around cool car guy Kobe Miller.
What's going on, everyone?
So, guys, you know, we have call-in guests, which we do have a call-in guest today, or tonight, but we've got guests in the studio. It's like Guest-palooza this week on Hot Rods and Happy Hour. So not only do we have SEMA builders, because SEMA's right here around the corner, 30 days, I'm going to be in Sin City. We got the boogeyman in the studio, not from Las Vegas, Nevada, and not the boogeyman you're thinking about either.
It is October.
He don't look like what I thought he would. He ain't red. He ain't got horns or anything. But he goes by the name Boogeyman. And we got a guy that goes by the name Bonafide. You might have heard him last week. His name's Tim Gurr.
Yeah, a little bit.
A little bit. All that. And that's what we get out of you for an intro.
I'm sorry.
I was like, yeah, a little bit. I'm talking it up, and that's what you do.
I never know what to say.
You know, it's always the wrong thing either way. Yeah, I know. But
the man that don't stop talking don't know what to say.
You put the mic in front of him, he goes mute. But this is the thing. We've got Greg, we got the Boogeyman, we got Tim Greer. And unless you've been living under a rock, and especially if you're in the Southeast, you know what these guys are. These guys are all about some old school gas or drag racing. And we're going to be, this weekend coming, at the Starlight 25, I know the first thing you're thinking about, Rob, I lived in Greenville all my life. I ain't never heard of Starlight 25. Yes, you have. It's the Ware Shoals Dragway. That's where she started out. The oldest, now, Greg, correct me if I'm wrong, the oldest drag strip in the state of South Carolina.
It's the oldest drag strip in the state that actually was a drag strip from the first day. There's some, airports that were used for drag strips and things like that, but the oldest purpose-built drag strip in the state.
So this was the original intentions. We're going to make us a drag strip out of this.
That's right. They were racing out on the road, out on Highway 25, and the family that owned the Starlight Cafe got an idea and said, well, we need to get these boys off the road. We can build a drag strip here, give them a place to race and make a little money, and they call it the Starlight 25.
I like that, though. That's cool. And that's history, because, you know, you got to think about it. You know, a lot of people think, oh, man, it's just a little stretch of asphalt. You know, that's all there is to it. It ain't cost that. That's a lot of money to run a drag strip. And not counting, you know, power and people to prep the track and work the lights and insurance policies, Lord forbid what that is even like. But, you know, and the thing is, you know, with the popularity with the young crowd and the racing crowd and all that stuff, I think, see, I got it a little different because I'm in that odd age bracket. I'm not old, quit giggling, but I'm not young either. You know what I'm saying? I'm in that happy, me and the Boogeyman and all of us, we're all, well, Kobe's kind of old, so, but Professor, you know what? Well, Tim, he's kind of old too. Anyway, you know what I'm saying. I don't remember the Starlight 25, but I remember back in the day at Greer Dragway or Shady Side and real drag racing, not what you watch on TV and on NBC Sports or Fox whatever now, wherever it's airing on now, which I think is like the Dog Channel or something because the NHRA is going to pot. But And I even got that from Shirley Muldowney herself. She told me that. She said, it sucks. That was her exact words that she said on the radio. Now, off the air, she said something much worse, but FCC won't let us play that one. But that's the thing, is like people watch drag racing now, like pro stock. I remember growing up, my dad raced pro modified top sportsman my entire, from sipping a bottle to 14, my dad raced pro mod. And, you know, with all the big guys that were running pro mod at the time. And so I know drag racing. I know my way around drag strip, little gritty eighth mile tracks, and then going to Commerce or going to Darlington and going to big tracks. But this is the thing, is like now drag racing's changed. It's you know, it's always been a sponsor-driven thing. Obviously, these things are expensive to build. There's no cheap form of racing. But it's almost, it's kind of lost its grit. You know, when you've got a pro stock champion that I'm pretty sure is not even old enough to buy beer, because the cars are damn near push button now, and somebody's grandpappy has just enough money to put him in the best of the best, he's the champion now. Where it wasn't so much, and you know, I mean, obviously money is a big part of it, but it's eliminating a lot of the skill technology is. And by doing this, just like Warren Johnson said, they interviewed Warren Johnson about pro stock. And pro stock drag, when I was growing up, I loved pro stock drag racing. Loved door slammer cars. You know, and it was competitive and it's close. Bob Glidden, Warren Johnson, these guys, this is Daryl Alderman. You know, all these guys back in the day.
Lee Shepard.
That's a good one. That's a really good one. Bruce Allen. You know what I'm saying? The Levi Garrett car. These guys, I mean, Bob Glidden was my hero. I'm not even a Ford fan, but Bob Glidden does no wrong. Bob Glidden was my Lee Majors. Literally. Like, I mean, this shows you how much drag racing has changed. Is I remember vividly, I'm 40 years old, I remember it vividly being at Commerce, or the Atlanta Dragway, being at Commerce, and now I've got to announce at the Atlanta Dragway, which is, it's kind of cool. The same mic that Steve Evans used, I've talked behind, and I love that, because he was my hero, Steve Evans was, in Diamond P Motorsports. But Bob Glidden pulling up in a Motorcraft T-Bird, come riding up, and literally got a foot hung in the door, sitting in the staging lanes. You see a Winston fly across, the door shut, and makes a pass. That was drag racing, though. You know what I'm saying? You know, his wife was there. They all had their matching shirts on. And it was perfect. You know what I'm saying? It was a family affair. And it was drag racing, just like everybody on my dad's team. We was all family. Yeah. And even that pro stock team was like that. Now, it's not like that. Mama and them are back in the bus watching it on the live feed. And we've got a crew of 60 that, you know what I'm saying, this is their job. They're not doing it for the love as much as they say. They're doing it because they get a check for it. And, you know, it's changed. And it's not just pro stock. It's Top Fuel and Funny Car and all that stuff. And when your big names are not big names anymore. I mean, I interviewed the pro stock world champion, and I had to Google him. What's wrong with that? You know what I'm saying? Warren Johnson in Warner Robins, Georgia. They interviewed him and said, Warren, we're going to put you in a pro stock car. Would you do it? He said, nope. He says, boring. Sucks. He said, I put my time in. I'm done. This is Warren Johnson, the real professor.
Hey.
The real he's the real professor. But you see what I'm saying? Do you realize how that affected me here in that interview? That's letting you know right there, you're doing something wrong. You know what I mean?
I agree.
I mean, but we are going to talk about what's going right for drag racing. And you know what? Sometimes when you get a little too far into the future, you need to reach back into your history a little bit. And I think you guys have got the right idea with this. We're going to wrap it up with this segment. Hang tight. We got a lot more Hot Rods and Happy Hour and Saving Drag Racing right here.
right here on 106.3 WORD.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
All right, guys, welcome back to Hot Rods and Happy Hour in the studio. As always, we have Hot Rods and Happy Hour's financial analyst slash numbers guru, Richard Hoskins.
Shout out to Norwalk, Ohio.
That's another fun track.
Isn't it?
That's another fun track. I got a funny story about Kurt Johnson in Norwalk, but I'll leave that alone for right now because that was going to take two segments in itself. And then, of course, we have Hot Rods and Happy Hours legal counsel slash all-around cool car guy, Cubby Miller.
What's going on, everyone?
Who I don't have a cool story about at Norwalk.
No, I don't think I've ever been to Norwalk.
I got a funny story about you in Tacoma, Georgia, but that's something we can't talk about on the air.
That's right. Shh.
Can't take you to nowhere. Nowhere, especially Tacoma, Georgia. Quincy's won't even let us back in anymore. One of the two places in the world that's got a Quincy's. One of them we're permanently banned from. Go figure. Can't go nowhere nice anymore.
Why?
Because of him.
Yeah, we were down in Quincy.
Have you ever got ran out of a Quincy's? He has.
I have. For what? Long story. Tell it's, you out there.
Exactly.
Being on the table.
So tell me one thing. Why does Kobe have a legal counsel title?
Kobe, we need it. Kobe is that guy.
Really?
Yes. He is that guy. We need this guy. The type of things we get into, we need that kind of...
Legal counsel.
Legal counsel. Exactly.
Really?
Yep.
So...
That means he's got the phone number to the lawyer in his phone.
I've got my phone number to my lawyer on speed dial. I talked to him quite a bit. We're past first time. I'm like, hey, bud, what's up? You know what I mean? It's like, it ain't like, hey, Grant... Hey, bud, it's me again. You know, so yeah, so she ain't happy.
So your symbol in his phone is a dollar sign. Then, so when he knows you're ringing,
exactly.
It's a dollar sign.
It sounds like a cash register. Ching,
ching, yeah.
So anyway, I just write my attorney a check once a month, and we just put it in an account. You know what I mean? Because I know I'm going to use it, and it just kind of takes the sting out. You know what I mean? But anyway. We're talking about saving drag racing. We got special guests in the studio. We got a great call-in guest coming up, but we've got special guests in the studio. When I say special, these guys are special. Well, Tim's a different type of special, but you know what I'm saying. These guys are special because these guys right here, I really think, are one of many groups that are out there doing this. But I'm going to tell you something. I love the way they're doing it. Is they're saving drag racing by bringing back some of the history, some of the nostalgia. Is the three-pedal Gasser Shootout Series. Now, you know, there's a Gasser club of every type everywhere. And everybody's got their own opinion and definition of a Gasser. You know, a lot of people think it's just a straight axle car.
That's correct.
A lot of people think, you know, well, it's because you ran gas in the engine, you know. A lot of people think it's this, that, whatever. And everybody's got their own opinion, and everybody's entitled to one. And here at Hot Rods and Happy Hour, we don't care either way. It don't matter. But I like what you guys are doing. And I like your type of racing. I like the way you guys talk. You talk like drag racers. And that's what I like. You don't talk like politicians. You don't talk like lawyers. You talk like drag racers. That's what I like. I like real drag racing. And not only are we racing vintage cars, we're racing them at the oldest track in the state of South Carolina. Built in 1950, the oldest purpose-built drag strip. In 1956... And we're coming back to do this race here. That's what's awesome.
And we're trying to do it the way they did it in 1967 by the format that's set up now, which is, you know, your class winners of A gas, B gas, C gas, and Outlaw are going to run each other for an event win at the end of the day. That's how this happened in the 60s. You won your class, then you wasn't over. Wasn't the day wasn't done.
Don't put the car on the trailer yet.
You ain't ready. You ain't done yet. So now you're going to go run all these other classes for the event win, the top dog, the main man. Let's use Gene Cromer. That is one of the most historic names in the Southeast in drag racing and gassers, okay? He's not known for just winning all these A-gas classes. He's known for winning so many events. just the, you know, overall win over and over and over. You know, nobody could beat that Ford powered Willys. They just could. You know, ever see gas tried, D get, nobody. They just couldn't do it.
That's what makes gasser racing exciting, though. And just like you were saying off air, and I didn't know this about you, Boogeyman. I didn't know this about you. You didn't even like drag racing.
I didn't like drag racing until I seen a gasser race. Until
you seen a gasser race.
No, I thought it was the most boring as crap I ever seen in my life.
Try growing up in a drag strip.
I had seen bracket racing.
Being 7 years old and watching bracket racing.
No.
I know bracket racers that don't like watching bracket racing. You know what I'm saying? But gasser racing's exactly. Gasser racing, though, is different.
Well, it's exciting.
It is exciting because you don't know. I'll be honest with you.
It's unpredictable.
It's like slingshot dragster. You know why they call them slingshot dragster? Because you don't know where the hell it's going to go. That's why. And gassers are not far from it at all.
You don't know between, like when you're running four speeds, and in a lot of our heads-up stuff, we run four speed. You don't know what the car's going to do between the gear shift. Is it going to go left? Is it going to go right? Is it going to stand up? Is it going to lay flat? You don't know, and that's the fun part.
I can pretty much guarantee it won't be straight. No, I'm just saying.
Most times it won't be straight.
And it's not just the starting line. You can leave the starting line straight, get halfway down the track, and it decide to go left or right.
That's right.
Well, you know, you got to think about it. We're still using 60s. I don't want to say technology because it's not technology. I guess logic. And obviously, so now correct me if I'm wrong, but 60s gasser, the whole idea with the gasser with the front end up is basically setting the load, putting weight to the back end.
It was a weight transfer.
Right.
Yes,
they
was trying
that
to
was the logic it. Behind That's it. Correct. Now drag cars lower and aerodynamics and all that. They didn't know even what that was back then. So they stand them straight up in the front to get the front end up, to get the preload basically on the back.
That's correct.
Weight transfer.
Right. But by doing that, we dramatically affect the steering of this thing.
Well, you got to remember in the 60s, the tracks was crap. They was junk. They're not like they are today. The tire technology in the 60s was junk. Now,
no, we were racing on recaps.
That's right. And now you've got a stickier track. You've got a better tire. It even makes it more exciting. These cars are probably standing up and doing more crazy stuff than they was even doing in the 60s. Because
exactly.
We're putting so much more horsepower to these cars now because of the modern technology and the engines that we do. Everybody does with aluminum heads and this and that. We're putting so much more horsepower to a car that wasn't built to do this. Does that make any sense?
Exactly. Oh, it makes total sense. Because you got to think about it. You know. Now you want to build your hot rod, you just open up your old JX catalog, go online. You know, what's that? You know, one click gets it quick. You know, one call gets it all. All that stuff. You know, it wasn't like that back in the day.
No.
The aftermarket parts, there were some, but it's nothing like it is now.
Honest Charlie's.
That's Chattanooga, Tennessee. But... You know, that's the thing. Back then, you know, there was a double handful of aftermarket parts vendors, you know, and that was it. You had to make horsepower on your own in your machine shop.
Or you had to be innovative on the car.
Exactly.
And come up. It wasn't just engine.
It's cutting like weight.
Cutting weight. Do I change this ladder bar, this length? They was so innovative in how they would build a car. And listen... They wasn't no roadmap. These people was the pioneer of the drag race.
They were filling this out at best.
They would literally, okay, I'm going to go try this. Is it going to kill me? Or is it going to make me go faster? That was the thing. So every Friday night you didn't know.
Exactly. You didn't know. And this is where I'm glad we touched on. We got to take a commercial break right quick. We're going to pick back up on this one. Guys, stay tuned. We're talking all about the history of gasser drag racing right here on Hot Rods and Happy Hour.
Right here on 106.3 WORD.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
All right, guys, welcome back to Hot Rods and Happy Hour. This is Rob Pitts, your automotive host with the most. In the studio, as always, we have Hot Rods and Happy Hour's financial analyst slash numbers guru, Richard Hoskins.
Going to kick it out west. Shout out to Pomona, California.
Now that is a drag racing city.
That's 60s song.
That's where our boy Wally got this thing kicked off at, you know? That was Pomona. there's a lot of neat drag racing history in California.
Yeah, Sonoma.
Oh, yeah. Nona. Everything.
Yeah, makes you think about Beach Boys songs and stuff.
For some reason, and I know it has nothing to do with it, but the little Leif Pasadena just popped in my head when he said that. I don't know, but in her super stock Dodge.
That's why.
It's a great song. Actually, that wasn't even the Beach Boys there.
That was Jan and Dean,
yeah, exactly. I'll take 60s automotive music for $1,000, Alex.
It's about a Dodge, man.
Well, that's the reason I don't try not to remember, because my parents told me that was the devil. Speaking of that, we got the Boogeyman in the studio. That's great. My mom's going to love that one. Grandma's praying now. Super. And, of course, we have Hot Rods and Happy Hours legal counsel / all-around cool car guy, Kobe Miller.
What's going on, everyone?
And you're saying, Rob, you got the Boogeyman in the studio. Yeah, we got the Boogeyman in the studio, but this Boogeyman right here ain't the one you look under your bed at night for. This Boogeyman drives a silver metal flake Nova with a green stripe down the side.
Pretty much, yeah. You still got to look for me under the bed, though.
Oh, Lord. I'm not going to sleep tonight. Thanks, Boogeyman.
Thanks a lot.
Professor's like, great. I always wanted, nightmares.
Looks like super. Sleeping on the couch.
Your mom and dad has always warned you about the Boogeyman. Yeah, I'll never forget that.
Yeah, they have. They have warned me about the Boogeyman. And what am I doing? I'm interviewing him on the radio. Super.
Face your fears.
Super. And then we got David Gregg and we got Tim Greer. And you're like, the Boogeyman, David Gregg, Tim Greer. Who's these guys? These guys are with the three-pedal Gasser Shootout Series. We got a big race lined up at the Ware Shoals Dragway this October 12th, this Saturday coming. You guys are definitely not going to miss that. It's going to be a good one. So we're talking about Gasser racing. We're talking about real Gasser racing, the grit in drag racing, because now drag racing is all prim and it's proper, and we need to mention our sponsors, and we need to do this. And, well, we don't argue because then we'll get knocked points. You know, I remember when they used to, like, you scored brownie points because you were a badass at drag racing. You know how many times I've seen my grandpa pull a gun in a drag strip? Now, could you imagine now if somebody pulls a gun on a drag strip, they're going to shut the place down, lock everything down. You got the Fed there. You know what I'm saying? I mean, this is what drag racing's turned into. Drag racing's turned into a dog pageant. That's what it's turned into. It's cute. It's just precious. That's what's wrong with it. It's lost its grit. But you guys have found the grit. You found the history. And I'm talking to you too, Bonafide.
Yes, ma'am.
Sir. And, you know, don't let me sit the Boogeyman on you.
I'm sorry.
So, you're bringing the grit back to drag racing. That's what I like. By bringing the history to it. And a lot of kids will learn. You've got kids that go down the drag strip every night for the streetcar runs and things like that. That ain't got one clue where it started. It didn't start with Fox Body Mustangs, which is the new classic, which drives me insane when I hear that. That'd makes me feel painfully old. And also, oh man, it's that classic Mustang. No, that's a Fox Body Mustang. That's not a classic Mustang. But it's drag racing was way before that. And we're talking about like the early history, or not early history of drag racing. I mean, drag racing was around way before the 60s. The first drag race was when the second car was built. We all know that. But we're talking about the Gassers, which we got incredibly popular in the 60s.
And they've been popular around here the last few years in the upstate of South Carolina.
Well, they're popular. There's a lot of series that are running Gassers all over.
Well, yeah, and I mean, I'd say around here, you're going to have to give Greg Porter, Night Stalker, a big shout out.
Oh, Lord.
That's the man that started it all.
This is my favorite thing. I got a good Greg Porter story for you guys. See, this is the thing. Now when you call Greg, it's Night Stalker.
It's Night Stalker. That's right. Pick up the telephone.
First see, but I, but I, but the thing is, I knew Greg when he was just Greg Porter.
Greg Porter.
Now, hey Rob, it's Night Stalker. Hey, Greg, how are you? You know, but I love it. I love it. You got to stay in character. And he is a character. Greg is a, with a capital C, character.
His personality fits that car.
110%.
Does that make any sense?
Yep. I mean,
you couldn't take a better person and put them in that green 55 Night Stalker.
I love. That was the Dude Moore.
Dude Moore on the car. And
exactly.
Then it actually went back to another guy that originally built it. I can't think of his name, but Jimmy Finley has the snake bike Mustang. It was his uncle that originally built the car, sold it to Dude Moore, and then, you know, of course, years later, it gets to Greg, like 40 years later.
Right. See, this is what I love about this racing. Yep. You know, so I told you about my dad racing Pro Mod and all those years, and of course, you know, door slammer cars and top sportsmen and things like that. My grandfather. His very first drag car was a 1956 Chevrolet two-door post, 210. called the Dixie Twister.
Ah.
Bright yellow. And old English down the side in black letters that had Dixie Twister on it. Hollywood Mags on the front. The stories I heard about that 56 Chevrolet. And I've owned two 56 Chevrolet 210s because of that story. You know, I'm a guy that when I hear something like that, and now, I mean, they're just iconic. Me and my grandfather were really close. But, and the stories of the drag racing, and then, of course, they got into Dodges, and then they got right with the Lord, got into Chevrolets, and got going fast. But you know what I'm saying.
Exactly. I drive a Chevrolet.
Even the devil knows it's the right thing to do. That's the bad thing. The boogeyman.
Unfortunately, it does, yeah.
Yes, unfortunately. If you want to go fast, you need GM parts in it.
Do say a little prayer right before I leave, though, every time.
I don't blame you. The funniest talking about Chryslers, I told this one a little bit, but it's so good I won't tell it again.
Go ahead.
My dad, the last Chrysler drag car he had was a 71 Dodge Colt. Little car. And keep in mind, I mean, this thing had a wheelbase of like 13 inches. And they had a big cubic inch built out. It started life as a 440. I'll put it like that. Where it ended, nobody knows. What now? I don't even know what the class was back then.
You took a 440 and put a car around it.
More or less. With a very crudely built tube chassis under it. You know what I'm saying? So anyway, and they went from that to a Chevette, which is even more hilarious. But this is a Chrysler. They had a 440, and the car ran good. You know? Well, my grandfather, drag racing, when it's in you. Like, you won't. Competitive is not the word anymore. You want to go faster. You're always looking for a way to get faster.
I can testify to that.
You know what I'm saying? Like, you always want to be faster. My grandfather was like that. My dad was the driver at this point. My grandfather was basically the money man. And my grandfather was like, I wonder how we get this little Colt in faster. And we're throwing every direct connection and Mopar secret. We got Sox and Martin and everything you could throw at this thing to make it a Chrysler run. And it got to a certain point and just wasn't going to do no more. And it was impressive, but we wanted it faster.
Never satisfied.
Never. It's never fast enough. There's always another couple tenths in it. So my grandfather started noticing some of these Chevrolet cars running with these big block Chevrolets in them. And this is back. This shows you how long it is. This is before Gene Fulton was building big block Chevrolets. So this just goes to show how long. We're in the 70s. Bell bottoms, the whole shooting match. My dad had hair. Hell, Gene had hair. All right. My grandfather found a guy in North Carolina that had a big block Chevrolet. He was running in a Roadster. And this thing was making passes like no other. He bought that engine. And they stuck it in that Colt over the weekend. Had a glide in it. Just left the hood down. Keep in mind, this is a used drag racing. They didn't freshen it up, didn't do anything. Had a 440 built to the hilt. The thing came out once a week, freshened up, everything. Wore out big block that we bought off somebody that we don't know in North Carolina on a hunch. Put it in the Colt. It was 0.4 faster than the 440 was then. Needless to say, Gene Fulton got the first big block he ever did machine work on built for a drag car. And needless to say, we sold a Colt. We built a Chevette. And then we went racing. And so my grandfather always told me, he said, now, son, I'll tell you that story. He said, you know, if you want to get on liquor, he said, I don't want you to get on dope, but if you did get on dope, chasing wild women, we could send you somewhere for all those things. You get on them damn Chryslers, son, you're just going to be a loser. That's all there's to it. And that's what he told. And that's the truth. And I took it to heart. And poor Richard, I wish you could have been there in those molding years, and it would have saved you so much heartache.
Yeah, probably would have.
It saved you so much heartache. But okay, so now we're talking about drag racing and the early days. And I talked about my grandfather's early days of drag racing. And we got to take a commercial break. But when we come back, I want to know a little more about the boogeyman. And you're talking about how drag racing was born and how Gassers brought you into drag racing. Guys, hang tight. We got a lot more Hot Rods and Happy Hour headed your way.
Right here on 106.3 WORD.
All right, guys, welcome back to Hot Rods and Happy Hour. This is Rob Pitts in the studio. As always, we have Hot Rods and Happy Hour's financial analyst/numbers guru, Richard Hoskins.
Shout out to another historical drag city, Maple Grove, Pennsylvania.
It's a good one. It's a good one. Never been there. Watched really it on the television before.
Reaching deep in the hat tonight.
That's right. And of course, we have Hot Rods and Happy Hours legal counsel / all around guy playing with his phone, Kobe Miller.
What's going on?
I won't call you out or nothing.
Well, I'm looking at some Volkswagen.
You're research. Yeah. We ain't talking about no Volkswagens.
I am.
That's what's wrong with people now.
I'm going to make a Gassard Volkswagen.
I used to think it'd be kind of cool.
Yep.
I do too. I guess you don't have to worry about weight transfer since the motor's in the back.
No, but you'd
put a V8 in it.
I can't get down with those little Hitler cars and stuff like that. You kind of got to include everybody now, you know. I mean,
they included them back then.
Well, but even then.
Yep.
And then
H-class, a Hitler class.
The Hitler class, basically.
Yep.
That's pretty much what I'm almost positive that's what it stands for.
Oh, yes.
Did you look that up? He said, yeah, I called it right then. I just Googled it. You know, we got some special guests in the studio. We got a call-in guest coming up, but we got a guest right now in the studio, the three-pedal Gasser shootout series, guys. I'm going to get it out right here in just a second. We got the boogeyman in the studio who drives his badass Metal Flake Nova. I love that car. I love the name. That's another thing I love about Gasser's names. And then, of course, we got David Gregg. And they drug Tim Greer. Tim Greer's kind of like cold. He just kind of follows you around. You know what I mean?
You can't shake
him. He lingers.
The world's fastest rambler in Roebuck, South Carolina. And don't you forget it.
In Roebuck, South Carolina.
No, it's not. I own two of them.
And one's faster than the other?
One of them's a backup plan.
Richard, see, that's what's wrong with your Murata. That's the reason, if you had a backup Murata.
It's still the fastest Murata in Greenville.
When it runs.
I did try to sell him one with the T-tops this week.
Yeah, man, I wish that was my car. I wish I was in the condition of my car.
If it had to.
Tim sent me one. So it's got rust.
It's like, okay, so I tried to say.
Yeah.
Okay, Tim.
But it's got T-tops. What's it matter?
And it's got a 360.
It's kind of like a Mopar Bandit.
Black and gold Murata.
Tim, I'm going to no. That Mopar is a bandit. You know why? Because it steals his dreams. That's what it does.
steals my money.
It does, and it still don't run. That's the damnest thing I've ever seen in my life. That car just don't like you.
I swear to God, it runs great for everybody else.
It does. I jump in, drive it anyway. Richard gets in, it's going to die instantly. Just like it don't. It's like Christine, but reverse. You know, it likes everybody but him.
He's trying to tell you something.
Exactly.
Yeah. Hey, my Chrysler the same way. Every time I get in it. Broke down every single time.
You ever thought about getting out of Chrysler? You know,
well,
my daddy and my grandpa.
It is for sale.
Yeah, had some good advice on that.
Yep.
So we're talking about what got the boogeyman into drag race. This guy's racing dirt bikes and off road.
Yeah, that's where I come from. I didn't come from asphalt.
Exactly. I mean, we ain't talking about. He said he didn't come from asphalt.
Now, but he did build a lot of cool cars.
He did. No, it's all right, Chuck.
Yeah.
But you built your gas.
I don't do that no more.
You didn't flip. I don't blame you. A lot of people got out of that. But you didn't flip through your Jegs catalog and order your dial a gasser kit?
No.
You didn't. It was the part number GAS107 or something?
No, don't get me wrong. There's some parts from Summit on the car.
Of course.
Well,
obviously.
I got hooked on it at going to one of these gasser races and, you know, just seeing how out of control it is. And that sounds kind of weird. The out of control is what enticed me to want to own one. But
have you ever seen them boys ride dirt bikes? That's pretty damn crazy to me too.
Yeah,
I see them. You don't see me want to hop on one.
But still, though, it was just
kind of like a dirt bike with 800 horsepower.
Exactly. Yeah,
true.
It looks like skint knees to me. That's what it looks like.
That's really what got everybody into it, is the danger.
It's the danger. I mean, it's not safe. Let me tell you something else about these cars. They're sitting up so high that they are an accident waiting to happen. Modern drag cars now are 3 inches off the ground and they're running 200 mile an hour. But when they do get into trouble, those things called walls that keeps them inside the track. These cars are so tall that
they go over them.
Well, they can go over. They get on their top. They bounce. They move. They're fun. I mean, let's just call it like it is. They're fun to drive.
Professor, it's fun.
David can tell us all about that. Tell us, David. Tell us about riding on the top, David.
I've been racing since probably 76 or so, and I've done about every kind of racing there is except maybe top fuel.
You have raced on the top, but not top fuel.
I was on my top, and I had fuel in me.
The four-speed gassers are the most fun thing I've ever done. I have a 33 Willis, which is one of the shorter wheelbase cars. And
ill handling as they come.
High center of gravity. And I attacked that thing like I was in my Malibu, which was a low slung car. Determined that I was going to qualify well, and it bit me.
You are the only person at Greer to ever go through the traps on your side at 100 mile an hour.
Yeah, and win.
That was the very first race.
He slid through at 100 mile an hour through the lights.
That was the very first race I ever attended.
Was it?
Gasser race, and he rode through on the side.
A 33. Yep. I remember seeing that online.
Yep.
A 33. And see, you guys, to paint a picture for you of a 33 Willys, the best way to describe a 33 Willy is to look at it from the side. It looks like a lantern. You ever notice that? It's kind of tall and kind of like pushed together.
Looks like one of them crazy golf carts.
It does look like a crazy golf cart.
It sure does.
It looks like a crazy golf cart.
Hey. Or a clown car. You know what I'm saying.
Either way.
Whatever you want to take it. Yeah. But an iconic and a beautiful drag car when it's on its wheels. But these things, like your Nova is not a long car by any stretch of the imagination.
It's not 110-inch wheelbase.
But we could put his wheelies in between your wheels.
Oh, yeah.
You see where I'm getting at. That's a short car. And we're talking about sitting up.
What is it, 99 inches? 100.
100
inches.
It's 100. You like that guy. What are you, 6 foot? I'm 6'1". But that's the thing with these things is the danger with them. Now, safety equipment-wise, what are we running? What's the three-pedal gasser shootout guys running safety-wise?
It's got all the same safety. You have to pass. The one thing I like about the series and being a part of it and being a driver in it is the safety. You have to your belts. You have to follow every safety rule that the track enforces. That means belts.
Now, tanks. I've been to some tracks. You can tie a rope around your waist.
Well, typically most tracks.
I ain't going to say any names. But.
Yeah, but most tracks, like I said, you know, cages got to be up to date. You know, I mean.
You tell me I can't make it out of PVC?
No, I can't do that. They have did in the 60s. They
yeah.
When I got the Boogeyman, if you've seen the stuff I cut out of it.
Plumbing pipe.
Oh, well, I'm talking about EMT.
I've seen a few with the roll bars. Had duct tape on,
you know.
Yeah, I mean it works. Okay, it works. If you keep the shiny side up, which I know that's a new concept. If you keep the shiny side up, you ain't got nothing to worry about.
The Rambler has no shiny side.
The Rambler, much like you, does not have a good side.
That's
you
exactly
know what
right.
I'm saying.
The Rambler leaves rust when it goes down the track. Literally on the track, they have to blow the track.
The Rambler,
that's my strategy.
The Rambler goes down the track, and there's people in the stands that need tetanus shots.
They
okay,
do. They're coughing and all.
They're coughing up
it
stuff.
It ain't from exhaust. It's from the rust.
That's Tim's calling card.
You don't get no more nostalgic than rust.
No. You don't.
It is. Period.
You see, did you pull that thing out of a swamp or?
Actually, I traded for it out of Ohio.
Did it come out of the boiling spring?
No, not the boiling spring.
If you're blinded by a cloud of rust, you know Rambler has been here.
If I can get in front of you 10 feet, I got you.
Only
all
10.
All the rust is bouncing off your legs.
That's right.
So basically what he's saying is you got to choke down on the start line. To get in front of
you. That's fun.
This is what makes drag racing fun right here. You'll hear pro stock boys talking trash like that. I bet you I'll push my button before you push your button. That's all they got to say.
My motor makes 5 or more horsepower than yours does.
Hey, you know what? My grandfather's a multimillionaire. We just bought a new hauler. That's the only thing they can talk about because everything's the same. Yeah. I bet you my Camaro fiberglass body looks my carbon fiber Camaro body just like your carbon fiber Camaro body. I got a new wrap.
Yeah.
It's chrome.
That's drag racing, man.
Yeah. They've never seen rust.
Exactly. That's what's wrong with these kids
that's
today.
Right. No, if you ain't got rust, you ain't. Poop. You ain't rusty.
If you ain't got rust.
That's exactly
that
right.
That needs to be on a t-shirt.
You ain't right if you ain't got rust. Is that what you
I mean, look what I'm driving tonight.
I'm serious.
That is not futina. That is patina.
That's no patina Turner. I know what fotina is.
Yeah. That ain't fake. That's real.
I'll tell you what else is real is these commercial breaks. My producer's having a fit over here.
Right,
I gotta stop. Calm down, Tim. Guys, stay tuned. We got a lot more Hot Rods and Happy Hour headed your way.
Right here on 106.3 WORD.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
It's
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.